on web snappers.
My spider sense is tingling.
Spider sense tells me that I'm in for some trouble.
My spider sense is picking up trouble.
Anybody else's spider sense tingling?
Welcome to Walloping Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast where we dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made. I'm Doug.
And I'm Derek.
And is your spider sense tingling?
Ho hum, another dull day with nothing doing.
Nice. We would, of course, like to take a quick moment to thank our spectacular patrons, Bo, Carl, Katie, Jason, Zoe, James, Keith, and Cody.
Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, because it's the 60s cartoon that we are talking about, we have a guest with us. Actually, two guests with us. We are excited to welcome from the podcasts Animorphing Time, the Bruce Campbell podcast, and Hate Speech podcast, Tyler and Nate. How's it going, Tyler and Nate?
Hello, I'm Tyler.
I'm Nate. I'm now realizing that we put the word podcast in all of our podcasts.
Oh,
feels a bit redundant. I mean...
We're not. Yeah, Derek and Doug, you're not working with the best here today. I am sorry to say. Hello, I'm
wow.
Good. I just woke up.
Not even a joke. He's awful.
I worked night shift last night and I did some terrible things we don't have to talk about because it's a Spider-Man podcast, not a cleaning up adult feces podcast.
So, Spider-Man might do that. You know, he's helpful.
From time to time.
Hey, good Hannah. He probably might.
I mean, he lives with his Aunt May, and we've seen how frail she looks sometimes. Depends on the version, you know.
No, I'm just
strong start.
I just woke up. I got some stuff wrong with me. Nate, let me throw it to you. How are you?
Pretty good. I was thinking, like, Spider-Man could make, like, an adult diaper if he needed to.
Yeah, out of webbing.
Sure. Yeah, he made a parachute in this episode.
Oh, my favorite.
Love a parachute.
You can make anything.
Love a parachute.
Well, we are very excited to have you. If folks are not familiar with the podcasts you do, what are those and what can they expect?
So two of them are dead.
Wow.
May they rest in peace.
No, one is a living dead.
Okay, hold on. One is definitely dead. It's ended. We covered everything.
And
the other one is kind of on hospice until we feel like bringing it back. But our new one, Hate Speech, is a brand new podcast where Nate and I, and sometimes a guest, will talk about something that we just hate. Because, like, there's a lot of stuff in the world where it's like, oh, you know, prioritize self-care, love,
positivity.
Yeah, toxic positivity. Thank you, Nate. You're my brain today. And we noticed there's not really a place to sort of let your hate out. And that can be dangerous, not having an outlet for your hate. I think in America, when people let their hate out, it gets very bad. So we're trying to, like,
we're embracing our inner mole men and really, really loving that hate.
Yeah. And our first episode was on Mr. Beast, the YouTuber who employs child slaves to make chocolate.
Oh, fun.
That's a good choice.
So we're out there. Hate Speech podcast. Animorph in Time was about the Animorphs books, and Bruce Campbell is about the B actor Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I
feel like you said, like, dead, like, that has a negative connotation, but, like, Animorphing Time ended because you did all the Animorph
things. Yeah.
Like,
well, it's kind of
you,
like,
completed the mission.
Yeah, it's human life. Once I've done everything, I'll die too. So it's just how podcasts kind of go. Yeah.
We finished the fight.
Yeah, and we should say Derek joined us on an episode of the Bruce Campbell podcast to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Spider-Man 2, one of the, like, probably the best Spider-Man movie ever made that's not animated.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any arguments from this this podcast.
No hot takes about that here.
You have to say animated because this one, if it was in that category, would have beat Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. This washes Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Look, there's, like, watercolor, all the watercolor stuff in Gwen Stacy's world and across the Spider-Verse. Really, it just owes it all to the watercolor backgrounds.
That's true.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of this show, have either of you watched the show before? Do you have a history with it? And I guess just generally, what are your histories with Spider-Man?
I had a brief crisis watching the first episode because there was a brief moment where I was like, wait, is this live action? Have I just been sitting on a live action 1967 Spider-Man? And the answer was no. So I had very little exposure to this cartoon. But no, like, as far as Spider-Man goes, like, you know, I like a good web slinger. You know, I came in during the Raimi movies and have been hanging around ever since. I learned the other a couple weeks ago what a Madam Web was, and that was great.
Ah, yes.
I'm sure that was just a blessed time. Change your life for the better.
Honestly, oh, yeah. Yes. We were. So we saw that, like, it wasn't opening day, but
yes, it was.
Was it opening
day? It certainly was.
I saw it on opening day, too. Why did we do this to ourselves?
Because it was so funny. The movie ruled. I love the Spider-Verse. I love Madam Web being a part of the Spider-Verse. Yes,
I like the Dark Universe Spider-Man movies more than the Tom Holland ones, like the Venom, Madam Web. So when we saw Madam Web, I was going into it. I was thinking, you know, this probably is going to be very good. I meant to say it isn't going to be very good. And then I saw this family bring their two young children. I'm like, okay, there's a little girl here who's going to see this movie full of empowered women, and they're going to love it. It's going to be good for them. This is great. This is why, you know, representation is important for children to see themselves in superhero movies. I glanced over halfway through the movie. She's sound asleep and had to be carried out.
People left.
The same. People left in the middle of the showing I went to. I couldn't believe it.
I could never. That movie is a masterpiece. As for my history with Spider-Man, I'm a longtime childhood Spider-Man comics reader. I had action figures. Like, if I still had my clear Venom action figure from KB Toys, I would be the happiest man alive. And now they're like $100 on eBay. Mine's head broke off. It doesn't matter. That
like, he was invisible? Like, that's why it was clear?
No, he was like a clear plastic toy with the like black mouth, red eyes, and the black Venom logo. It looks cool. If you look up clear Venom toy, it rocks.
Why was he clear, though?
It's the stealth Venom. He was invisible.
Okay.
Would you read a comic in your life, please?
I just never thought of like clear plastic as being invisible. But like, yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway,
I mean,
better than an empty box?
Yeah.
No, actually, an empty box would be great.
I kinda love that.
I hate them kids. Give yourself an empty box.
It's my Venom. No, like, I've loved Spider-Man my whole life. I've seen all the movies. I haven't watched very much of this show apart from clips here and there because it's always been hard to find, at least for me. Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore now that I know it's on the Internet Archive, so that'll be fun. So this is my first full episode of this show that I've ever seen, and I don't know how it could get better. It had weird little guys.
So many weird look, more than I thought, actually.
Tons of weird little guys. I love weird little guys. I love underground worlds.
I mean, I've always been a fan of like the Earthquake Machine and Mole Man, and it's like, oh, it's great.
I host a podcast called Hate Speech with Nate, and so I love thinly veiled racism like anyone else in Oregon.
Jesus Christ.
Just kidding.
Well, I mean, there was that one elf guy that was like, wait.
There was some, all I'm saying is that the mole men use gongs a little more than I expect them to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I'm certain we'll get into.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, nowhere near the worst racism the show has ever had.
Oh, God, no.
By a wide margin, but, you know, still worth talking about for sure.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that the first sort of full episode the two of you are watching is a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that's to great. Look up who Muggs Riley was. I was like, wait a second.
I was just like, cool with like rolling with it. Like, oh, I thought that was the name of the head mole man.
It was.
Oh,
yeah, you're not wrong.
They never unmasked him. He's just a quirk. He's a
quirk guy. I thought he was an actual mole man.
No, he's a quirked up surface dweller who took over the mole people because he loved Robin Banks, as I understand it.
Yeah. Here's your previously on. Here's context for you all and for listeners if they haven't listened to every episode that we've done this season.
This is wild that you even have to do this for this show.
Right. This is a weird one because you wouldn't expect the show to have any level of continuity, but like there is. And also like the actual context of the episode is honestly kind of weird. One of the honest, and I'll just be crystal clear, one of the reasons that when we were figuring out who, where we wanted to slot people into the season, I thought of having you guys on for this one specifically because I knew this one would be weird for Doug and I to talk about because so much of this episode just reuses footage and plot points from an episode 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I need people who would be good at just like riffing and probably going on tangents and taking over the show anyway. So like, good for that. Because we're probably, Doug and I probably aren't going to have like that much to really say because we've said lots of things about stuff in this episode 2 weeks ago because this episode just reuses the whole reason this exists is because they just take an episode that aired the fifth episode of the season. This is episode 7. So literally 2 weeks ahead of time, they just take like 90% of the footage from that episode and just dub over it with different lines, reorder some scenes and throw in like 10% new stuff and just make it different. But like they end up sort of justifying it by making it like a sequel episode.
Mm-hmm.
That episode, all this Mole Man stuff happened. They're also, you know, taking buildings from up top and stuff like that. And Spider-Man goes down, but it turns out to be like a human criminal in a mask is pretending to be their leader and like tricked them into like stealing banks. Otherwise they wouldn't have given a shit about banks and they're peaceful people otherwise. And then this episode like basically is just an alternate universe version of that of like, what if it really was the mole people?
Right.
So
really,
I've been
really sells the mole people out. They were like so pissed they'd been had and now they're just having themselves, I guess.
Sometimes all a society needs is a charismatic strong man to come on and point them in the direction of against Spider-Man.
Or a huckster.
Or a huckster, yeah.
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 Wow. That is wild information to learn.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So the episode we're talking about is, of course, the Spider-Man 1967 show, season 2, episode 7, entitled Spider-Man Battles the Mole Men.
Ho hum. Another dull day with nothing doing. I should have stayed in bed. Wait, what's that? My spider hearing tells me something's about to... Holy cats! It vanished. Better take a closer look. It is the mole. But how?
Yes, Herr Parker. These are the signals I have been receiving all day. I can't make any sense out of them.
Maybe you can't, Doc. But with my spider hearing...
Yes, Master. But what about Spider-Man?
Sounds like they've rigged up some sort of a trap for Spider-Man. What could it be?
Signal has sounded. You have located Spider-Man on the seismophone?
Yes, Master. He is now atop building number F-109X.
Excellent, my scientist. You will receive a position of power when we have conquered the surface people. Activate the descending mechanism beneath building F-109X now. Spider-Man, beware.
Hi, guys.
If you see the title screen or it's listed anywhere, people who are like really real pedants about Spider-Man's name having like the hyphen and the capital M, I mean, fuck you for this episode because the official title for this episode is Spider-Man with no hyphen and a lowercase m. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. You know what? Works.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's like his last name, you know? Yeah. Like, Johnson isn't like John hyphen son. No, it's Johnson.
Yeah, I'm Peter Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's right. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the synopsis for IMDb is the Mole Men from Menace from the Bottom of the World are stealing buildings again, taking back the sun, wealth, and land that they feel should rightfully belong to them.
Shoot.
Original air date was October 26, 1968.
At it again. Wild synopsis. There are no new characters to highlight here because we've seen all of them before. And the voice actors don't change because they're exactly the same. So it's just our regular cast of like Paul Soles and Tom Hardy and all the same folks.
Did you just say Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy? Tom Harvey is probably who I meant to say.
It's a hard start for Tom Hardy. Yeah. You got to work your way.
Yeah.
I don't know if any women speak in this episode, so maybe Peg Dixon's not in here.
They do not.
It's our usual folks.
I was going to say, thank you for inviting us on an episode where no ladies are allowed. This one's for the fellas.
Yep. We have that
and
sign.
And you know what? If they did appear, there would have been something sexist or misogynistic said to them or about them. So probably for the best that they're just left out of this.
I argue that all great, truly great pieces of media don't have speaking roles for women. I'm, of course, referencing this, Spider-Man versus the Mole Men and Lawrence of Arabia, two things that are just equal in my mind because they feature no women characters speaking.
Yeah, it is weird to not have any women speaking, but you're right, Derek. It means they can't be rude or horrible to women.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's a bummer, though, is if you don't know Peg Dixon and if you don't know her role on the show, she does voice every single woman on the show.
Yeah.
The show doesn't employ any other women, which sucks, but it's kind of rad that she voices every single woman. It's kind of impressive. And some young children.
Man, rest in peace, Peg Dixon, Spider-Man goat. Yeah, wow.
Honestly,
a hero.
Iconic. She's also one of the best on this show, really. So,
oh, she's
you know.
Great. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I guess we can get into what happens in this episode. So this one kicks off with Spider-Man once again witnessing a bank disappear into a hole in the ground. It is the exact same bank. It is the exact same hole. And this is weird because the guy responsible should be in prison. Naturally, he seeks the help of Dr. Orloff, a seismologist that he sought help from last time, and he learns two things. One, that the subterraneans, or now mole men, as they are now called, are plotting a battle against the surface dwellers. And two, unlike last time, they are prepared to face off against Spider-Man.
Holy cats.
Holy cats.
I do love a good holy cats. You don't hear that very often these days.
I would venture to say, yeah, we should bring it back. And I have never heard it in my life until earlier today.
You got to hang around to a bunch of people that watched Spider-Man in the 1970s.
Wandering around my house saying, good Hannah, when I spilled coffee on my pants.
There's really good slang in this show. That is one thing it absolutely has going for it.
Yeah.
Also, good scientists. You don't see a good German scientist these days.
Yeah. What was a German scientist doing around this time in America? Where did they come from? I'm not going to think about that. I'm not
listening into the ground, searching for secret signals.
Yeah,
but interesting. Not very good. He's not very good at it because you can clearly hear them. They're saying like, "Yeah, we're gonna fight the surface." It's like, "Oh, my spider hearing will pick this up." I'm like, no, it's obviously there.
It's coming through the radio, dude.
Yeah, Peter Parker didn't have to play the record backwards to hear the satanic stuff on the Ozzy album. He just could hear it.
He just knew.
Yeah,
that's a spider sense. Hearing.
Yeah,
of course.
I've never heard it referred to as spider hearing before. It's always been like a spider sense.
Oh, it's a separate power.
Yeah, these are Nate, I am begging you to read a comic book.
Well, I'm just like, you know, it's always told to me a spider sense. He gets a tingle and then he knows everything that needs to happen, right? But like this is like, apparently spiders are good at hearing. I've yelled at many a spider. They have never reacted.
Yeah,
they
but
don't
they
give
heard
a fuck
you
at all.
They just hang around.
Yeah, it's funny watching these old shows because it's so close to when the comics started that they just add powers here and there. Like, no one's supervising them, really. Mm-hmm. So if Ralph Bakshi and his crew wanted to have Spider-Man do something, they could explain it however they wanted.
Yeah, it's kind of like Madam Web.
Truly, honestly.
Oh, my
honestly.
God.
I sat in disbelief at what I was watching. But
yeah,
I almost got the zoomies and ran down the aisle. I was so excited watching that movie. It was nuts.
See, I don't know much about Madam Web. Does she not have the things in the movie?
Well,
it depends on the version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
So she doesn't have hearing.
No,
she does not.
The one thing you should know about Madam Web, and I'm being completely serious, is that her web connects us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does she end up in a wheelchair? She got blinded.
Yeah.
I'm a nurse, and I don't understand how that's connected.
She got
lazy. Not to actually litigate Madam Web, but that is the spider paralysis that the bad guy, whatever his fucking name was, had. Like, he did touch her a bunch enough to paralyze her.
Don't
I think
say it like that.
Yeah, and then of course the P from the Pepsi Cola sign fell into the water. Or the S. The P killed the villain. The S fell into the
water.
She
kept envisioning the S, and as foreshadowing 101 taught me at my liberal communist college, that's what's going to kill him. But the S hits the P, and he killed him. They killed him with the P.
She changed her fate.
Incomprehensible. Incomprehensible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fundamentally, I mean, broken at every level, and I love her.
Listen, spider powers are flexible, you know? Like, sometimes...
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a giant robot, I learned.
You do.
This one should have had a Jet Jaguar.
Spider Jeep, yeah. All that.
Yeah. But no, instead he gets, like, a spider parachute.
Spider parachutes are rad.
Yeah. That makes sense a little bit, actually. I was on board with the spider parachute.
He's used that before. That's something that is well-established Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple cartoons.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see really incredible usage of webbing from Spider-Man, the first season of this show has him do the wildest shit. It's basically like Green Lantern, but with webs. He can make anything. It's incredible.
Didn't he make a glove one time? Like a catching glove to catch something, I think? Instead of just catching it, he like made an actual glove of webbing. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Stuff like that. It's pretty great.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes sense. It's fun to watch.
Are you saying that, like, if you had spider goo, you could just goop your hand and make a glove? Like, I think that I would be able to do that.
I mean, sure.
He didn't cover his hand. I should be clear. It was more like a Green Lantern thing where he created a web glove far away from his hand.
Something. Now that makes sense.
Structure.
you're right. That I understand. But, like, treating his web like Elmer's glue and making the handprint. That did not track for me.
Well, it turns out that the subterranean mole men have been tracking Spider-Man's movements. So this is how they are preparing. So when he gets himself stuck on building F-109X, which they name drop twice, they actually drop that building into the ground too. This is incredible to me because I don't understand how Spider-Man manages to get stuck on the building in the first place. I know it's his parachute. But as was pointed out last week, this Spider-Man just simply doesn't have spider sense. It just doesn't exist. He has no warning for anything.
He was really tired. He said that he was tired of swinging. It's just been a long day.
Do the episodes really have this much swinging in it?
Oh, my
God. Every single one.
Okay.
Oh, man.
From this season, at least. But Yeah.
Well, because they took what was like two separate stories and doubled it in size, but they didn't like double the plot. So we've timed before, and there are some episodes where it's like legitimately like 4.5-5 minutes of just swinging, just to fill out time.
It's funny because like this is the first episode of the Spider-Man cartoon show I have seen, and I recognize the multiple swing faces. Like every time he came towards the camera, I'm like, oh, that's number 5. Here we go. Number 6.
Yeah.
It's noticeable.
They had a limited amount of Spider-Man swinging that they made in the first season, and that is what they have used ever since and will until the final episode of this show.
Kids don't deserve more, you know?
Well, no, I think this is pretty illustrative of baby boomers and how their minds work now, because you read these stories where it's like, oh, all the grandparents on Facebook are completely fooled by AI. It's like, well, of course they are. They don't know what anything looks like. Everything is the jumbled mash of the same to them.
Are you saying this is like a lead poisoning thing?
I think so, yeah.
Like, the kids back then, they just didn't notice.
Well, they were
eating paint chips.
They saw 6 things, and they only recognized 5 of them every time.
Kids had a hard time drawing a clock back then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying they weren't given much so they could just turn their brains off. Combined with the cigarettes and mothers who drank during pregnancy, I have a little deeper understanding of them. I don't like them. I can't wait for them all to be dead. And I think, honestly, I think we could solve a lot of the world's problems if we just turn dead people into cat food, because cats would have no ethical quandary with it. You know what? I'm going to save this for another podcast.
Where is this going?
Just...
There's this character called Black Cat, and she's loving to eat people on a regular basis.
Yeah, famously.
I've heard of Black Cat because she's got huge bazongas.
That's true.
Jesus Christ.
That's all I know about Black Cat. I'm sorry.
And this is why we have you on the episode with no women in the show whatsoever.
I will teach him to be better. I will have him understand Felicia Hardy. I promise. This is my gift to you, or my solemn promise to you.
No, I want more mole men, actually.
Okay.
So, like, they do set up this trap, but, like, the trap is, let's catch him on this one building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Spider-Man catches a ride on a blimp because he hates public transport. Stick him to the building.
I'm really curious, like, could it have been any building, or were they really convinced this would be the one? Were they prepared to drop any building in New York in case he got stuck?
They seem like, one thing that I like, question mark, is like that I think that the Mole Men society is this interesting fusion of being like sort of classically quote unquote primitive, right? But also like extremely technologically advanced at the same time. And like, I don't remember Doug, but in the last time the last time we saw them, did they have this like scientist mole man?
Oh, I was about to mention this guy. Like, I fucking love
that
guy.
Because I think that he's new for this episode. And because I feel like the last episode, like, even though they were bringing buildings down, we didn't really get a sense that they had like technology. Like, it was something, it was just vague. Like, maybe it was magic. I don't know.
Sure.
And in this one, it's very clearly they are very technologically adept, and they literally have a scientist mole man dude who, is so fucking cool. I love his weird, like, I don't know, kind of orangutan design a little bit.
Yeah. With the saddest, soulful eyes I've ever seen.
He looks like bored and he could be doing such great things, but instead he's building this dumb machine.
He's regretting his life. He should have been the guy who rings the gong, but instead he's doing all the work.
Yeah, truly, he's the only one. He's like, no one else is really doing anything. They're all just kind of partying.
He's the one who really wants to get up there so he can be recognized for all his amazing inventions.
Well, when Muggs Riley's regime takes the surface, he's promised a position of power.
I think his desires are more, he wants to do less, and he knows machines and stuff. Like, he messed up at work and he's like, oh dang, they know that I know things.
I love this character, and you're right, Derek, I don't think he existed before.
Yeah,
because I think some of the technology that they use in this is taken from a different episode. I'm pretty sure that the Zeppelin is obviously taken from another episode. But there's a control panel that gets shot in this episode that I'm pretty sure is just from that same episode.
From the Criminals in the Clouds episode with Skymaster.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
yeah,
they just
right.
like inject technology from other episodes into this episode.
That didn't even occur to me. That's so funny.
No, don't sell them short. The Mole Men found that technology.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They brought it underground and they're like, we're going to use this thing as a building sucker or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But yeah, that fucking in that end of that episode, the fucking blink sinks into the Hudson River. Yeah. It can, and as we know, the Hudson River is just where everything goes to disappear forever, mm-hmm, and you never find it because there's a hole that goes to the center of the earth.
That's right.
The Mole Men have everything.
Yeah. You just got to read between the lines. The episode was trying to tell you guys.
Damn. Yeah. What have we even
Holy
been doing?
Shit.
And look, I'm not going to try and make an argument that the Mole Men were right. However, it's a very fuck around and find out kind of situation, because the only thing I know about the Mole Men from this episode is that they have been denied the sun and the wealth of the surface people.
It's in the IMDb synopsis.
And let me make this argument. I think the Mole Men would not be a problem. I think they'd be perfectly fine if we had an open border and we got rid of the sanctions on the mole people.
Yeah, between honestly, the surface and the and the underground.
Rent, though, Tyler. Yeah. Rent's pretty high in New York. They can't afford it.
So, Nick, you're going to tell me these mole men are stealing our jobs and our women?
They're stealing our technology, obviously. They're stealing our buildings,
when
Tyler.
They can't trade with us, normally, what else is the option?
What are they going to trade? Weird bugs?
They
giant
have,
mushrooms?
I mean, that's pretty fucking cool. Mushrooms and laser ants down there.
Yeah, they do have some pretty killer shit. So, I mean, and actually, honestly, like, legitimately, I do kind of love the idea that, like, the Mole Men were just completely had no oblivious to what was happening until this dude from the surface came down, told them how to like rob banks and shit.
Oh,
and they
God.
Were like, I didn't realize that there was just an entire world up there that we've just been like not that we've just been like completely like unaware of. And then it's like, okay, well, why can't we go up? But the thing is, that episode ends with Spider-Man just being like, you've got to return all the buildings and all the people. And they're just like, okay. But then they're like, wait, why the fuck couldn't we go up there with them and like explore? Why are the humans down there? And now they're pissed about it. And that's why they want to go back at Spider-Man. Like, it actually, the logic does kind of check out here. I'm kind of into this.
Is there was there anything happening around the time this show that when the show was made where people were in a like an American came into a society, sort of tore things up in a warlike fashion and then disappeared, creating a strife between the people and the cultures down there? I mean, Spider-Man explicitly says things are about to explode and I have no way of stopping this. And then he swings away. There's a really good peek at American foreign policy in this TV show if you want to make that argument.
I don't think anyone did.
I kind of love it, though. I kind of love it.
I did a cursory Google search for this, and no, not a lot of people have talked about this episode. I don't mind being the top scholar and analyst of the Mole Men and the border sanctions on them. I love that, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It does add a lot of depth to this episode.
You know, I try to meet the really Spider-Man 60s cartoon halfway. Like, I know they were running on vibes. I watched this, but my brain's hooked to their vibe, and I get it. See the Mole Men.
Look, Ralph Bakshi was, like, he was not an unpolitical guy, and he did have his pulse on a lot of sort of, you know, social issues, and I think did lean more leftist than he didn't a lot of times. Maybe it wasn't intentional, but I could see the idea having been in the ether and kind of made its way into
seeping
the script,
its way
you know?
In. You know?
I'm not prepared to declare that it's on there, so I'm just gonna have to look again at what's on the list. But this could have been on Osama bin Laden's hard drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, a culture that's been oppressed by America makes a building disappear. Where have I heard that before?
You know, I was waiting, like, how long is it going to get before we get to like a 9/11 reference on this podcast? It had to happen at some point, I guess.
I'm so sorry. I'll go.
It's okay.
Don't you dare leave.
Yeah, like, that's why you're here, I guess.
I love coming on as everyone's crazy friend.
Everyone watch. He's going to make a reference to 9/11 again. He's going to do it.
I could also say this show is also very anti-public transportation. Spider-Man says a couple times, well, I don't have time to take the subway, as if it's not the greatest piece of public transportation.
Oh, that New York subway is good. You can get anywhere in that city.
Except to the F-109X building.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't go there. Great building name, though.
I guess that's the Mole Men's designation for whatever building that is. Like, did they come up with like their own code for every single building in the city, and that's like their coordinates?
That actually makes
it?
A lot of sense.
Yeah. Nothing else.
An alarming amount
there.
Of sense.
How would they? It's not like that. You can just like Google what, like Google Maps, what the city's like buildings are called. Like, they are going to have to map it out themselves, right? So
they have very little light, no television, probably no like plays or real entertainment to speak of. So might as well number every single building.
We don't know that they. Yeah. We have no. They seem like they can party. I'm sure that they have culture.
Have you seen that architecture? Like, it's all cubes. It's not a place to party.
Show me where the club is.
I want to see what those elves do at night.
No, they go to they're hanging out mushrooms. They're high all the time.
Living the life.
Was the giant golem in the last episode too?
Yes.
But here's the thing: the giant laser-eyed bugs were not in the last episode. The gang of small warrior elves, not in the last episode. So there is a little bit of new stuff underground in this episode. But yes, the giant golem is from the last episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I love the elves. Can we talk about the elves?
Fucking love them.
Please.
Yes.
Like, we've been talking about Mole Men this entire time, but there's another culture down there.
Yeah, this is mind-blowing.
I love them. I love them. I think that they're perfect. I think that Spider-Man's being an asshole when they're like, they can fight really well, but unfortunately they're bad guys. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know? They attacked you because a random giant stranger just like showed up in their house. Like, of course they're going to attack you. That doesn't mean they're bad. They seem like pretty fucking cool dudes to me.
And let's be clear, Spider-Man
they can fuck.
Spider-Man looks like a monster.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He shows down. Yeah. He has no eyes. He shoots webs out of his hand. I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's kind of a freak.
Especially if he's two or three times bigger than me. Yeah, I would attack that thing too.
He's going to pick me up in a web and suck my blood out. Throw a spear at him. Get him.
Derek, do you know, are these elves have to be made for the show, right? Based on how they interact with Spider-Man?
Yeah, I don't think that they picked them up from the Rocket Robin Hood show. The giant laser-eyed bugs are from Rocket Robin Hood.
Yes. We might see them sometime soon.
Yeah, we recorded an episode out of order that they do actually show up in a lot. I think it's the one coming out next week, actually. Yeah. So look forward for more laser-eyed bugs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the elves, I've scrubbed through a lot of Rocket Robin Hood, which is a show for Tyler and Nate. That's a show that... like a lot of footage from this show, like, was just sort of pulled from that one, because that was another show that Bakshi's production studio had worked on. So like the giant laser eyed bugs are from that. I don't think anything else from this episode is from that show. But as far as I can tell, yeah, they created these little elves for this episode alone, like no other episode of the show, another show, and I fucking love it.
Well, it's probably like made it all worth animators it. Just like doodling, like, hey, you did this in company time, we're throwing this into the show.
Yeah,
because they don't fit, they don't belong in this episode, really.
No.
I think we're getting a Ralph Bakshi fetish in that shot of them all over biting and hitting Spider-Man. Like one of them's biting on his foot and pulling his shoes off, and it's like,
I wasn't aware this was a Ralph Bakshi joint, to be honest, but like now I know that, like, no, he does have a thing for elves. If you've seen Wizards, things go places.
And like, it's funny though, because they're like elf, but they're also like kind of like dwarves and kind of orcs. Like they're a weird amalgamation
I would call
multiple races, you know?
Yeah. If I was doing this D&D campaign, I'd call them brownies, you know?
I'd go with goblin.
Well, I mean, like,
yeah, goblin. Goblin's exactly
I
what
would
it
not
is, yeah.
say brownie.
Oh, no, like brownie, it's a monster designation, Tyler. It's not.
They're goblins. They're so clearly goblins.
I mean, no, because like they're kind of elvish. They have pointy ears, right? They have like kind of little furry.
Well, actually,
boots.
So do goblins, though. Goblins also have pointy ears.
No, like goblins are a bit more freaks. I don't think these guys are eating their own poop, you know? I think that they're keeping things clean down there. It's just, you know, they will try to eat Spider-Man.
These guys are kind of like yassified goblins. They're like goblins who fuck and are like hot.
Which I think we should all get to meet the goblins that fuck.
Yeah. Everyone deserves some yassified goblins who fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate, put that in there.
Yeah, the two coward
the goblins who fuck DLC. Yeah.
I won't say all of them were hot though. Some of them were looking pretty nasty.
Some of them are also.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to find the racism in the second season, some of them are
Fu Manchus
right there.
Yeah,
the Fu Manchus were, and yeah, the way that. Vaguely Asian stereotype was drawn. Not fun. And just weird, like out of place. Like I don't understand.
Unnecessary.
Why, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, let me ask you this. What this was made in 1968. Was there anything happening where a backwards culture with I'm using that term
America.
I'm using that term as they would have said it then, not how I feel. But is there an Asian culture who is known as good warriors but the bad guys happening at this time? I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
That attacks from the underground?
You know, I just can't think of anything.
I don't know. I just... Look, if it didn't happen during my lifetime, I don't know about it. People keep talking about this Civil War, and it's like, who cares about that movie?
And thankfully, nothing bad has ever happened during our lifetime. Country's great. Everything's good.
Yeah, we put a boot. We put a boot in their ass. Rip Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Luckily, there was some weird giant monster down. There's a lot of weird monsters underground. Like, it's surprising that the Mole Man is like the big focus here.
Yeah, given all the other weird stuff that's going on. There's also was there another flock of like weird flat, two-dimensional bird?
The bird things.
The demons, you mean? They didn't look like birds. those things ruled though. They looked like specters.
I would love to see, like, genuinely would love to see what these episodes where Spider-Man is like going underground and running into all these like weird things that you'd never see above ground. I would love to see what this episode would look like if Ralph Bakshi had a budget. It yeah. would be yeah. that would bananas.
Be, it would be Kong yeah. versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
Damn, I guess I'm going to get to see it very soon.
Yeah, but like truly though, I agree with you because I do think, I mean, honestly, like unironically, I do really enjoy this episode because I do think it just revels in just like the weirdness of this underground world that mm-hmm. doesn't have to make any sense, you know? And I do think that like, I really do kind of admire the imagination, like in spite of having a $2 budget, mm-hmm. like and having just reused shit and half this being stock footage, like every time they have an opportunity to do something weird, they go as weird as fucking possible as they want to. Like, yeah, there's no reason for any of this to be here. They're just doing it mm-hmm. just for the vibes. And I really appreciate
yeah,
that.
It also fits Spider-Man. Yeah. Like, cause Spider-Man, like the one thing I know several things Does about it? Spiders. Well, spiders can see in the dark. They're a night creature, right? Like it kind of fits. I'm thinking more of the spider part of the Spider-Man.
Okay. Okay.
Less like, the it, man part.
Makes, yeah. Sure, yeah. Sure. It makes sense for Spider-Man, a hero who can, in theory, see in the dark, would go down and fight like night creatures. I think that makes total sense to me. I don't know.
It says so much about you that you identify more with the spider part than the man part of Spider-Man.
I mean, yeah, like, okay, yes, he's a poor student slash scientist slash journalist.
Yeah. Get this working class kid out of here. I want to see the Spider-Man.
Bring on more spiders, what I say. I mean, like, but like, it does sure. make sense for him to be underground. Is what I mean. Yeah, spiders do that.
Nate, I'm going to make you read The Thousand. I don't. Derek, are you the Spider-Man The Thousand friend or fan?
The Thousand?
I don't know what this is.
I'm not sure. Oh,
have you got a 3-part Spider-Man Garth Ennis comic book to read? It's about a bunch of a guy gets bit by a radioactive spider and turns into a thousand Spider-Man and he kills people and inhabits their skin and pretends to be them.
So he's
just an amalgamation of spiders.
But
this
wait,
is different.
This
is different than Spider's Man,
yes.
who is a bunch of spiders that think they're Peter Parker.
Yeah, no. So this guy was really gross and jealous of Peter Parker to the point where he kills his. I can't remember which parent. He kills a parent, takes their skin, and then has for the married listeners, marital relations with his parent, and then kills the parent. And it's just horrible. Those old Preacher covers, that artist, he did the covers of these. If you look up Spider-Man the Thousand, it's a nightmare comic.
I have, you know, not that I'm reading it, I have heard of this, but I didn't realize it was like a fucked up Garth Ennis thing. And
oh yeah.
I mean, all of that checks out, yeah. but it is interesting.
Highly recommend if you want to get fucked up on spiders, sure. man.
Listen, yeah. I don't want that. Yeah. I just want the cool spider fighting the stone golem.
No, like to go back to what Derek said, running on vibes, when he's about to cross that bridge, I'm like, oh, the bridge is going to break. This, I know what's going to happen. I understand 60s TV and cartoons. No, the laser ants shoot the bridge.
A pitcher yeah. maneuver.
Mm-hmm. Like utterly unpredictable. Like yeah. I love that about it.
Yeah.
They do go all the way to mention he can't swing out either. He's like, oh, the walls are too slick.
Yeah.
Since when?
Underground, like underground caverns, famously extremely smooth.
This craggy
like no
game.
Friction.
Not a stalactite or mite to be found.
Spider-Man never seen wall crawling in the rain ever once. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he manages to get through all these trials, but ultimately does find himself tied up.
Oh, don't just say he finds himself tied up. He is standing on a cliff and a fucking mole man like hits him in the head with a hammer and Spider-Man like careens off seemingly to his death unconscious. And they just cut to like now he's tied up like someone caught him, I guess.
Yeah, I was trying to put the puzzle back as I was speaking, but thank you. Yes, that is how he finds himself tied up.
You think you could sneak up on a Spider-Man? I think I could, given the way that moment does.
In this show, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they can't 100%. Be that, like, They can't be that sneaky. They're big lumbering guys.
No, what's funny is they learned it from him, because in the last episode, he just like walked around, snuck up on these dudes and just like chopped the fuck out of them from behind.
Yeah.
hurt people.
The
man.
Knowledge of the surface.
Tale of our time.
They don't belong on the surface.
They had peace. They didn't know it, but they had peace.
Until the Americans came in and introduced capitalism and corruption, and it destroyed them.
I mean,
symbolized
truly,
by the bank being stolen.
That is kind of the story
the media,
of this episode.
The radio tower. It's all there.
They're
I think this episode's really good. I think this episode actually fucking rocks.
I'm with Derek on this one.
Yeah.
This shit rocks. It's wild. There's like a minute and a half long section of just panning through the caves with no Spider-Man.
Dude.
Just silence.
Yes.
Okay. The music rocks.
The music is great.
Yeah. No, but like genuinely though, I do think that like because I was thinking the same thing. Like when you first go to the underground, there is a long time that you are just observing the beautiful watercolor paintings that are the backgrounds in this show, and that's it. Nothing is happening. And I do think because this episode is just like this weird cobbled together like mess of different footage from previous episodes, it means that they honestly like spend more time just like reveling in like the visuals rather than like trying to throw in like different story elements and stuff, because there's not much more of a story that they can tell other than what they've already have footage for, you know? And I think that makes it weirdly makes this episode, I think, better than a lot of other episodes this season, because it's like, I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying, because the strange thing about this episode being a sequel and using a bunch of reused footage is they have to come up with a way to justify using all these same settings, which means they have to be really thoughtful about why he is there again, why the Mole Men are doing the thing they're doing. And some episodes just don't have that thoughtfulness because they're not forced to. So I did, while I was watching this, I mean, as silly as it is and how you know, not necessarily deep a plot it is, I was still kind of impressed by the fact that they even found a second plot that is distinct from the previous one, even if it is ever so slightly distinct.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they had to work a little bit harder to make it make sense, because they're like, it's almost like they're like, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking of the when I was watching this, I'm like, I kind of see how like watched my childhood spent watching Power Rangers kind of broke my brain a bit, because I get so obsessed with anything that like repurposes footage and like does it in a different way, and like what sort of stories you tell from putting those puzzle pieces together. And so I think that, I mean, that makes me so fascinated in this episode. And yeah, I do think that like, because they're putting these puzzle pieces together, they have to be more thoughtful and have to like work a little bit harder to make it make some semblance of sense. And it does end up, I think, weirdly, as bananas and batshit as this episode is, it feels honestly to me more cohesive than anything else we'd seen this season for the most part.
Yeah, I think that's kind of fair. And we've seen other shows attempt to do things like this and just so much worse. There's like an 80s Doctor Doom episode that is like two separate episodes they smash together that like uses the whole plot from another episode, like beat for beat. And it's the worst episode we've ever talked about. This is nowhere close to the worst episode we've ever talked about.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that definitely makes sense though, Derek, right after you say that.
Oh, I don't like this part. This is
Spider-Man also finds himself in the company of the exact same hostages from 2 weeks ago being held hostage again. And this time with no introduction whatsoever. You would definitely 100% know that the guy in the suit who has speaking lines is one of Peter Parker's Daily Bugle co-workers, right, fellas?
I just knew him as like angry guy who wanted to speak to the Mole Man's manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was established. I mean, not that it's gonna carry through very many episodes, but there was a whole thing with this guy where he was like Peter's rival like photojournalist. Like he got all the assignments Peter wanted.
I will defend this though, because it's not like it's a waste that they're there, because it like him complaining does create a distraction for Spider-Man to escape. Like they do justify reusing this footage again.
Right.
I'll give them that.
That's true. I mean, they do something with it, right? That sort of like distinct quality. They find it here too. It is Hammond that makes that distraction, his coworker. And this allows Spider-Man to escape his binds. He ends up besting the Moleman warriors, saving the hostage, and he webs up the Moleman leader, who is aptly just called the Mole, I guess.
Not to be confused with Mole Man from the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Who I kept waiting to show up, and I'm like, oh no, this is a different thing.
Yeah, like not even close.
Well, what I kept waiting to happen was the reveal that Riley, the former leader, had somehow actually escaped and was doing it again. I was fully expecting another unmasking, but that's not even what happens. Like, this guy is just actually one of the Mole Men who takes over, and Spider-Man barely has to do anything. He like fucks up his whole operation himself by like shooting his control panel. And that's all it takes. It like shuts down the whole city.
As much as I love the Mole Men and I think that their society rules and I want to party with them so much, what a dumb idea to like have a generator that can like completely collapse your entire like underground world by being like blown up.
That scientist just wanted a way out. He just like built this thing on sticks. Just like one day this will explode and set me free.
Fellas, let me tell you about a little something called the Texas Power Grid.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what?
Oh, yo. Yeah.
Believable. Yeah. This is actually very realistic.
And
this episode actually has no holes.
whom amongst us has not had their plans completely ruined by their own inequities? I have. Like, I'm my worst enemy, so I kind of identify with the Mole Man like that. Sorry, the Mole, not the Mole Man. That's a different guy.
I mean, yeah, you shouldn't trust me with a gun. I definitely will.
I will shoot my car, shoot my TV.
Shoot just my to get car that directly thing, Spider-Man. In the engine.
It's that bird I don't like.
When the mole leader dude like pulls out a gun, I did think of the Hellboy like panel. Like, it's a monkey. He's got a gun.
Why do they have a gun? They should have used that earlier. Give them all guns.
I got a shout out to this fight scene. The impeccably animated running mole man towards Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Good.
It's my favorite animation cycle of the whole show,
and they know it because they're like, we're gonna use it over and
yeah,
over
so
and
much.
Over
a few
again,
times
and
every time I
kind of want to steal it. Like, it's such a good run cycle.
Right,
like, they
so
look
good.
Like blobs. Like, but like in a threatening way.
Yeah, there's when I saw that I was like, oh, they've got the juice. Has got the juice. I want more of this.
Like, just some ambitious animator got really excited and just like cranked this. Like, no, this is too good for the show. What are you doing? Stop.
It's where all their budget went, actually.
Yeah,
that's why they're reusing all this stuff.
Just incredible work.
I'm so glad you called that out. It's like my favorite thing. It's so different than like any other animation in this show. Like, you can't not stare directly at it and admire. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is completely out of time.
Cut to Spider-Man just stiffly going, swing. Yeah.
It's so good.
And you always hear people complain. It's like, oh, all these guys, why don't they just attack the person at once? Well, this show planned for that. They all attack Spider-Man at once. You just jump and they hit each other.
Yeah.
He does it a few times.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to wait your turn.
Well, I don't really know why, like you said, Derek, shooting this control panel seemingly collapses the entire underground city. But maybe it does. And Spider-Man gets out in time to not be crushed with them. And we have no idea otherwise what happens to all of the Mole Men. We get no closure on that.
I feel bad for the Mole Man and the people on the surface that are now sinking into a hole.
Right, because they could not, like, do you think they had enough time? Like, they were going in the building to be risen back up, but, like, immediately stuff started exploding very quickly after that. So, like, did they ever make it to the surface? I don't know if they did.
Well, here's the thing. I guarantee we're never going to see Hammond again, and I guess this is why.
He died. He got crushed.
Yeah.
He super tried dead. To do the Spartacus thing of, we will revolt, and then just dies.
Amazing. Well, the episode ends with Spider-Man sitting in like a random office chair on the side of the road.
Like the WeWork was closing. So like, they just kind of took out their extra lounge chairs and stuck it in Central Park.
Yeah.
Next to a trash, like a wire trash bin, just full of just crumpled up paper. Uh-huh. Like it was someone at their office chair, like doing work.
I mean, I've sat
outside next to the street, I guess.
I've sat in like couches that had just been hanging outside. Yeah. Like those are always
handy. That's true.
Yeah.
It's more brutalist anti-homeless architecture was what this was. No place to sleep there.
Speak on it. Yeah, replace all park benches with office chairs.
I can't sleep in a chair. You know this.
Just laying your head back.
I'm just saying there should be spaces for people to sleep, even if they don't have a house.
Yeah,
actually, I'm a hero. I should say it.
I'm strong enough to sleep in a chair. That's why I deserve better.
Yeah. Wow.
Nate's bootstrapping homeless sleeping. Good God.
Just sleep in a chair. It's not hard.
Oh, God. I quit this podcast.
That was the lie. That was your
line. That's
what
did it?
Yeah.
That was the line that was crossed.
No, I'll support any anti-American pro 9/11 sentiment, but I draw the line at saying homeless people need to be better. They do not.
No, better at sleeping in chairs. Spider-Man was real tired. He had a long day of work.
Nate,
which some homeless people don't have.
Nate, I hate this.
I don't like how it becomes a villain.
I want you to take the phrase homeless person and replace that with women. How does that feel now, huh? Probably pretty bad.
Yeah, it makes me feel pretty bad. You're right.
That's all you have to do, these straight guys.
This is wild.
Yeah. This is why we don't like straight people to be on our podcast, because they just come in and just ruin everything.
That's right.
Nate, I just think sucking a little penis would be good for you.
No.
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
All right. You can't make me. There is one last beat, and I will save you, Nate, with this one last beat, which is...
What are you, his dad?
I could be.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That took me a minute.
There's a mole costume. There's a costume shop.
It's a stupid joke.
It's a bad ending.
I don't like it.
No, don't do that. I love it.
Yeah.
That was so good.
No, ending a TV show where Spider-Man says, I'm too tired to ever swing again, sees a mole man costume, which, let's put aside the context of dressing up as someone else as another race. Let's not think about that too much.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
Tyler, monster.
No monster. Man is in the name of their species. I'm not comfortable calling them a monster. Though you may be, as we have learned this podcast.
Our skin, we don't know.
Okay. We should allow open debates for all.
Okay, last time we saw them, we saw that a surface-dwelling human infiltrated their society and probably brought racism with him.
Okay, yeah, the surface world. Don't bring it down.
Yeah. Just don't let any Americans anywhere.
I mean,
that's the moral of this.
That's kind of is the moral of this. None of this would have happened if a straight white American man who loved capitalism didn't infiltrate a culture that was previously untainted.
It's like bringing goats to Madagascar, you know? Or
I can't believe, Derek, you had the audacity to say someone named Muggs Riley is straight.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But no, you're definitely 100% right.
But I do want a mole man costume. I
kind of love it.
I want one of those.
I love it.
And I love that his reaction to being scared by that is just like, I gotta go.
He kind of laughs like kind of maniacally. Like it's kind of a creepy laugh that he has to himself.
It could have been like a 48-hour shift and he's just cackling home. He's lost his mind.
Yeah.
I kind of love that just because, Derek, as you said, they cobbled this story together that's a lot of vibes based rather than plot point after plot point. So it does kind of feel like a marathon of weirdness we've just ran through. And I think the perfect ending to that is just have the character laughing and kind of going insane. That's why After Hours was such a good movie. Like someone just has a bunch of terrible shit happen to him and nothing you can do. It just like laugh and move on.
You're saying this is a descent into madness story.
An argument could be made by a smarter person.
Well, and he did just escape like potentially witnessing like the death of an entire like culture species, you know, like that, like under, like that happened, right? Like he doesn't know what happened. If everything truly blew up at the center of the earth, which you think might have ramifications for like above ground, but if everything truly blew up, tons of people died that he escaped from, and like that's gonna fuck him up and kind of break his brain.
Derek, this is a man who begrudgingly saved his football teammate from being a hostage he wanted to be first string. Also, who only saved the island of Manhattan because it interfered with his date. I don't think he cares about those hostages.
This whole season has made Peter Parker look like the worst human being that has ever existed on this
planet. Maybe he was actually laughing. He's like, I'm glad I crushed them all.
Like, oh yeah, he's dead now.
Right, 16 fewer people to save.
No, that line of Spider-Man's of, this is all going to explode. Too bad there's no way for me to stop it. And then swings away. Yep. Oof. Heroes don't need to do heroic acts to be heroes.
They just need a sick costume.
Yeah, they just need to look cool and vibe. They don't actually have to save anybody.
Yeah, actually, did he really do anything this episode? Like,
no, he didn't. Really accomplish? No. The mole blew up his own place. He just showed up. Spider-Man just showed up.
Yeah, he didn't really accomplish much.
Yeah.
It's that the idiot plot where the story can only move because everyone in it is an idiot?
Yeah.
Like the wrong guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brave. Huh. Brave Damn. Storytelling. Brave TV show.
Cinema.
I do really like this episode, though. It's kind of
rips. No, I was expecting like a little bit of a slog. I was all in. When it was panning through the caves, I think I whistled and went, whoo, because I was like, I'm in for it. This is it. This is it for me.
Yeah,
and then the elves came on screen. Ooh, baby.
I kind of want to watch it again because it's so short and like I can skip past the beginning and the end. I've heard that song before.
you didn't need to hear it twice at the end of the episode?
No, I didn't.
I love that it ends on a 2-minute montage of the theme song and then the credits play another 2 minutes of the theme song.
So good.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a treat.
I don't know. Anything else that we didn't talk about with this one? I'm trying to. I mean, we went on some fucking wild directions.
I don't want to like. I don't want to jump on the bit that I'm reading in the notes, but I would have brought it up regardless had I read it.
Okay.
Amazing faces in this episode. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Amazing faces from every. Yeah. I like as soon as I saw one of the mole men faces, the one where he kind of has like that weird long jaw, like descended jaw face. I texted it right to Tyler. Yeah. Tyler, have you seen this guy?
Nate does not text me ever. Like I text him 5 times in a row to see if we could confirm to record today. And the answer I got was, yeah, real good. So Nate never texts me ever. I wake up to a text from Nate. I'm like, oh, God, what happened? Is he okay? I open it. It's a screenshot of the mole's face.
Oh, I fucking love it.
It's like, what happened? Like, he looks like he had, like, I've never seen a stroke. But it looks like his, like, face just kind of started to droop a little bit. Like, maybe he shouldn't see the sunlight. Maybe he has a bad reaction with that.
Yeah.
Makes them have a weird face.
Down there.
But like every single face in this episode.
All the characters like rock.
Every single character was fantastic. Seeing human Peter Parker, I didn't realize how much that would upset me. Mm-hmm. like something, it's something about his haircut, something about him having the sharp widow's peak in his 20s. Something
he's
about
he's been through
him.
A lot. Like he's been through a lot. So
Nate, I shouldn't judge him for his looks. You're right.
Nate, but you had to save the island of Manhattan every time you were trying to get pussy, you might be doing too well either.
I would be in shape.
A point.
But like something about it is just like he seems like smug. I wouldn't want to hang out with this guy.
Oh, this Peter Parker is a dude sucks. I would want to have nothing to do with. Some Peter Parkers, I'm like, yeah, let's hang. This one, absolutely not.
Yeah, he's mean, he's vindictive, which I mean, sometimes comics Peter Parker could go in that direction, but this is like distilled to like the worst.
But this
the
is,
worst of Peter Parker.
This is also, this is also like jock Peter Parker for some reason. So
yeah,
when
he
you're
plays
like
so many sports in this show. Yeah. It's so weird.
He would bully a nerd.
Yeah, he would bully a nerd, absolutely. Like he's Yeah, this is not one that I feel for when he is facing any sort of adversity socially.
Yeah, no.
It's like, you deserve it every time.
Yeah. Put him back in the mask.
What Peter Parker do you think y'all would hang out with the most? Mine's probably the 90s cartoon one because we could trade polos.
So that's a great rationale.
I don't like the 90s Peter Parkers. Well, the first half of the show, I don't like his personality because he is just very narcissistic and selfish a lot of times.
Yeah.
But the back half,
he grows once he's
just sort of like either dealing with grief or just like dating Mary Jane and not chasing after every girl he sees, he actually is fine. So I would hang out with that Peter Parker in the last half of the show.
I would hang out with the Amazing Friends Peter Parker if it meant I also got to hang out with the Amazing Friends.
Yeah, they seem really fun.
These answers are wrong. It's actually Japanese Spider-Man.
He's cool.
He has a motorcycle, leather jacket, a robot.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's sick. Yeah.
He is the coolest. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would smoke cigarettes. It'd
be great. Damn, I fucked up.
You messed up.
Well, wait. I think you specifically said which Peter Parker would you hang out with.
Oh, dang.
With.
Yeah. And that is not Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's not Peter Parker.
Because if it was just any spider person, it would be like Jessica Drew, Gwen Stacy, Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, many people before Peter Parker, really.
Yeah. Before most Peter Parkers.
Before most Peter Parkers.
Very real.
Nate, we all know you would say and say the emo Tobey Maguire.
I wouldn't get along with that guy. He punched not Gwen Stacy, but Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Yeah. I wouldn't hang out with him. He sucks. Good haircut though. Yeah. I appreciate the drip. Not this guy. Worst haircut on a Spider-Man. Like that weird like 60s, like what was that called? Where it was just like the flat top?
The Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Something in there.
Ugh.
Even haircut. Adam West had more drip than the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Man,
don't like to see it.
That was a guy who could get it. You see those behind the scene photos from the Adam West Batman? My God, they were cooking. They were cooking something on that show. Just were cooking the same stuff on this show too. Just probably LSD, right?
A little bit of coke, probably too.
Some sort of mixture.
Cocktail. All of the above. All of the above. Probably.
Get that reefer out of here. This is Ralph Bakshi Productions. God damn it.
I was about to say, like, I bet you they're straight edge, but no, you're right, actually.
I saw Mad Men. All the creative types were smoking jazz cigarettes. It's fine. Whom amongst us doesn't now?
Oh, well, I think this conversation is running out of steam. So why don't we set any closing thoughts? We got our faces of the episode, but any general episode thoughts or anything that we didn't get to that y'all want to get to before we start wrapping up?
I think we covered it all. Like, I wish we talked more about the music because that music I would just
listen. We can.
I would just listen to that music casually.
Yeah, like, that was
like it was like this the perfect synth. Like, there's good synth and bad synth, and this was good synth.
It
felt earthy.
Yeah,
there is a whole community apparently dedicated to preserving this music and finding this music. Chris Cummins was on an episode a few weeks back and was talking about all the work people have done to like keep this music because it's really good.
It's
like take those samples and make new music out of it, like, because it's fantastic. Yeah. Don't let it go.
It's a combination. Like, there's some stuff that they made for this show and some of it that was library music, which is sort of interesting, but it's like really good library music. It fucking rules every time. It's always a strong, I feel like it's something like that every guest we ever have on always comments on. It's sort of like, I didn't like this episode, but I love the music.
Right.
I love the music and I love the background.
Exactly.
Oh, come on. That's coward's way out. You look at this show, I don't see anything wrong with any of it.
Yeah, Tyler, find one fault with it. I dare you.
Won't happen. Not me. I love things. I have love in my heart.
Okay.
That's why you have a podcast called Love Speech.
Yeah, that's right.
Spider-Man is not invited on Hate Speech, I think.
Are you kidding me? If we get Tobey Maguire talking about how much he hates being normal.
speaking of love, face of the episode, we talked about him. So we've already jumped the gun on this, I guess, but like fucking love the elf dudes, especially love the shaggy bearded one. I want to give that I want to give him an open mouth kiss on the mouth with full of teeth. I think he's great.
So curious to know where that was going to end.
I wasn't exactly sure where I was going with that when I started talking. I feel like it went in an okay direction. That's all. I just love it. I also love how weird his face looks with the beard and the teeth. Like, it's just a strange painting, but I love it.
Yeah. It's good.
Spider-Man didn't hate it when they were crawling all over him. He's like, oh, this is, what's going on here?
I think he was having a good time.
Yeah.
I think
he just had places to be more than he was bothered.
Yeah. His one thought about them was, wow, they're really good fighters.
it's a shame they're bad guys.
Yeah. Fighters in big quotations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do love an adult that says bad guys, seriously. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things you shouldn't actually say out loud is bad guys.
No, that mole man scientist, he can get it.
Yeah. That guy, yes, right.
You know, a lot of hot people in this episode, really. A lot of hot creatures in this episode, gotta say.
Fucking laser ants.
No, I was just gonna say,
no, the laser ants is not the hot.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I was just thinking back on all the like crazy gagoos we got in this one, and
yeah,
man, laser ants out of nowhere,
fucking
not,
incredible,
not even remarked upon.
No, they're just there, and it's like, well, of course. I mean, of course, there's laser ants.
Oh, New York City, baby.
This is something you see in a death dream. Like,
oh God.
Like heading out
speaking
to
of
the cosmos.
Death dream. Speaking of death dream, the other face of the episode I pulled out when the fucking. My favorite bit with the mole men is when like Spidey, you know, jumps out of the way. We commented on it, but like the fucking when the one of the mole men hits the other mole men in the head with a hammer, they do like a full on like Looney Tunes like knot on their head that like, you know, like he's falling upside down with his tongue out. It's so fucking good, dude. I love it.
Eyes closed, so tongue out. That dude is fucking dead.
Yeah, fucking dead.
I've been that way and not dead before.
Yeah, that's true.
You've had
ass
a big
up,
like
tongue out actually makes a lot of sense.
You've had like a big lump on your head, bird flying around it.
Yeah, little stars. We used to be a proper country.
These days, yeah. Uncle Melon don't have that.
Turning into a return guy, but it's for this episode of Spider-Man.
It's good. I think this episode's really fun. This is definitely one of my favorites of this season, which I did not expect. I love that it doesn't have some of the bullshit that I don't like it doesn't have the bullshit that I haven't liked this season in this episode, weirdly.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I don't know. I'll have to do a review. I don't know if I would put it among my favorites, but it's in the top half.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a low bar, but you know.
This is the best and worst episode of this TV show I've seen.
This has been an episode I've seen. It's the number one in my valid. Head, except for the one where they're all pointing at each other. Mm. I've seen that.
It's a good one.
I bet you guys hate that, huh?
Yeah, probably.
The three Spider-Man thing? Oh,
no.
That drives you insane.
No.
It's kind of like people tag me on Twitter in pictures of red-tailed hawks because that's a big feature of Animorphs. I'm like, yeah, it's a bird. Thank you. Yeah, this thing is like the other thing I like. You're right. Mark that down for hate speech. Okay. People that I don't like.
Writing that down. Down now.
You know what? Reply guys would be a great topic.
I cannot wait to get into that. We're going to have someone on with a pretty significant following, and I'm hoping I pitched to them an idea for reply guys because he gets absolutely deranged reply guys. And I would love to talk about the few weirdo reply guys I get. Love them in my own way. But oh, man, pedants are worse than Nazis.
Wow.
I don't know about that, but they
are
annoying.
Not sure if I'm co-signing.
There is a very particular level of annoying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certain types of people who reply to all of your tweets despite really not knowing you at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a particular weird instant rage.
Yeah. I've worked on this stock response after several years now where I just say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Next time my joke will try to be more accurate and less funny. I am growing, I'm changing. That's what I say to them now.
Well, this is a great, that's a great segue because we're already talking about your podcast. Tyler, Nate, this has been really fun. Thanks for doing this. Tell everyone where to find y'all and all the stuff you're working on.
H8Speech on X.com, yeah. The everything app.
H8SpeechPod on Twitter, because wouldn't you know it, some right-wing chuds tried to start a hate speech podcast in like 2011, took the at.
Can you believe it?
And wow. Theirs didn't even go anywhere. We already have more episodes than them.
Or you can just Google hate speech podcast.
Hate speech podcast. It's got a skeleton on it. It's real cool.
Yeah. Look for the one with the cool logo. Yeah.
It does feel like kind of a win that the hate speech podcast is one hosted by like leftists and not people who actually like use hate speech.
That's right. Like, yeah, that was kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we knew what we were doing with the name.
Yeah, and if you're just want our Spider-Man content, we did do all three Spider-Man on the Bruce Campbell podcast.
Yeah, we did do that. Those three episodes. Derek is on one of those episodes. Fantastic guest. Mm-hmm. Great episode. There's also, if you like the Animorphs, we covered the entire book series. It's, you know, some Scholastic shit from the 90s. Yeah. We talked about it.
I bet you there's one Scholastic book out there that is Spider-Man based.
I'm sure there's more than one. Scholastic had their hands in every pie.
Yeah, probably a Spidey book is out there.
Oh, actually, isn't Shoddy and Spider-Ham books Scholastic? I think that they are.
That
I'm
is
to see.
A good thought. I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
I can't cut this out if I'm wrong because I can't see it on my shelf. But yeah, we've had the artist who's worked on like the current Spider-Ham books Scholastic.
Cool. Yeah.
Does so, yes, literally there have been like are currently ones coming out that are Spider-Man's Scholastic books. Yeah.
Scholastic is everywhere.
Yeah, but you can follow us there. We like y'all, we're a very DIY kind of podcast thing. We will only run ads if the product is very funny or stupid, which Derek, you were on our three sponsored content, which was the worst crap we've ever done. It was fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, if you like us, like that stuff, if you like hating things. That's our thing.
Wow. I hate that.
Me too. Look, I don't know how to sell myself. I mean, I do, but not with words.
Mm.
Roll my leg up and put it out and try and get a ride.
Yeah, but unfortunately this is an audio medium, so like what is the audio equivalent of showing leg? I don't know.
It's this.
Mm. Oh. Wow.
That's just some meat slapping.
I was amazed.
Anyway.
I just want to say so sorry, Doug. Derek, you kind of knew what you were getting into with us, but Doug, I'm so sorry.
No, this is lovely. This is the exact right series for this energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear that, Nate? We're perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is perfect? Our Patreon, patreon.com/wallopingwebsnappers. We can get lots of bonus content, including a bonus episode about Madam Web, which you heard a little bit about on this episode. For $1, just a buck, you can hear all of our bonus episodes, including our one on Madam Web. So check that out. And also check out our Discord. We got a link to that in the show notes. Otherwise, Doug, where can people find you and everything you're working on?
You can find me all over the place at Ikkybooley, IckyBooley. You can also listen to me on a Glitter Jaw show called Novel Gaming, where my co-host Katie and I catch up on all the books and video games and sometimes other media we've been consuming lately. And there is a YouTube channel for that as well. What about you, Derek?
Sure. You can find me most active on Twitter still at Derek B. Gale and on other platforms under that name, or Dare Bear, Mr. Dare Bear. I have a couple other podcasts. I have Gimmicks, which I do with my co-host David, where we look at the high concept and experimental and structure-breaking gimmicky episodes of TV. I did an episode with Tyler and Nate on an episode of Lost, I guess a couple of years ago.
Razzle dazzle, baby. Razzle dazzle.
Yeah. Razzle dazzle. That's a fucking hella fun one. So definitely check that out. I also have a podcast called Lee Carvalho's Potting Challenge, which is a Simpsons gaming podcast that I do with my co-host Tommy, where we're going through all of the Simpsons tie-in video games chronologically. I will also plug, I plugged this show before, but I do a, I co-host a Twitch show called Tokusatsu Thursday on the Sci-Fi Explosion Twitch, and there is another one coming up on March 14th, which I think is just a couple of days after this episode comes out. That's where we just stream a bunch of episodes of Tokusatsu shows along with like clips and commercials. There's a music video that I'm like absolutely obsessed with that I'm playing on that show. So definitely check that out on Thursday night. And this is so funny because this also like kind of came up in our conversation, but if you're a fan of that Toei Tokusatsu Spider-Man series, you may just hear Doug and I guesting on a podcast covering an episode of that show very soon. Ooh. So follow us on social media. I don't actually know when that episode is supposed to come
out. That's why we're being vague.
That's why we're being vague. So haven't recorded it yet, but I know that it's happening. So, you know, keep an eye out on our social media. So lots of Tokusatsu stuff and Spider-Man stuff happening. And if you'd like to follow other queer creators who talk about media, check out the Glitterjaw Queer Podcast Collective at glitterjaw.com. That includes Doug and I's monthly podcast, Screeonk, a Godzilla movie marathon where we're stomping through Godzilla's filmography. A new episode on the Solo Mothra film with a very special guest is out tomorrow. If you're listening to this episode, the day that it drops on the main feed, that will be out tomorrow. Very excited about that one. It's a very good one. Visit us on our website, wallopingwebsnappers.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at wallopingwebpod. Email us at wallopingwebsnapperspodcast@gmail.com. And rate, review, subscribe on all your podcast platforms. You've heard it all before. Next week, we experience the full impact of Rocket Robin Hood on the second season, including those laser-eyed ants again in the episode.
Give me Phantom. More ants. I'm always saying
hell yeah, right? Hey, there's plenty. Hey, you watch the next episode. There are plenty more. They are all over the place. In the episode Phantom from the Depths of Time.
Can't wait.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Beep.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find the Spider-Man.